See, when the wind is blowing, you know, 30, 40 miles an hour into your face, and you think, the one thing I'd like to stay warm are my hands, so I can booty dogs and everything. Well, I had asked a friend, only two or three weeks before the race, I had some old beaver hides that I had trapped, like 10, 12 years ago. I said, hey, would you make me a new pair of mitts? My mitts are kind of bum, and I could use a new pair. So she actually stretched the beaver hide and came back, and Allie, you know, they're kind of old. Oh, just make them, make it, they'll make it through the race. And they didn't. When I got to know them, Scotty said, Allie, your beaver mitts have mange. My beaver mitts completely fell apart. That was the first thing that happened. And then as I traveled down the trail, I was traveling with Paul Gebhardt, and we decided we would break this last section into two runs. There was a shelter cabin there where we were going to stop. We'd stop in the shelter cabin. We could get 2 or 3 hours of, you know, rest in a warm cabin. So we got to the cabin, and it turns out the last person who used that shelter cabin left the door open about that much. The wind had whipped into the cabin so much, there was a 6-foot berm on the inside of the door. So I couldn't open the door. So when Paul showed up, he said, well, the hell with it. We're building a fire on the outside of the cabin to stay warm. So if there's a shelter cabin near Koyuk that burns down, it's not my fault. So my beaver mitts fall apart. We make this shelter cabin. Can't get in there. Then I go about, probably 50 miles after that shelter cabin, have this great sled that I've driven for 9 years now. It's not one of these new dangled sit-down sled. It's like a traditional tough, it'll never break sled. I go down this little bump, poof, my runner breaks. So my runner's broken, trying to fix it with these beaver mitts that are flying everywhere. I pull into White Mountain, and I was a little tired. So I borrowed a drill driver from someone and thought, oh, I'll fix my runner so I can just limp it, you know, 80 miles to the finish line. So I drilled some holes into the sled, and the only thing I really had was zip ties. So I zip tied together my runner, and bless his heart, Paul came over and said, no. So we got wire and we got twine, and I ended up really fixing my runner so that it at least flapped along beside me as I ran the 77 miles into the finish line. And I thought, all right, you know, I look kind of crummy, my sled's all broke up, you know, but I'm almost there. So I get about 15 miles out of White Mountain. So what's that, only 60 miles from the finish line? Getting pretty close, right? So I come upon this ocean of water. For some reason, mushers who went before me didn't really go through it, and a lot of the mushers didn't go through it after. And there's about 10 or 12 inches of water that my dogs chose to not go through. And some of us have a system here where we don't have necklines in our dogs. And that is not a very recommendable system when you're trying to get them through water. So it took a bit of an ordeal and about 20 minutes of wading around in about this deep of water until I finally convinced the squad that it was okay to get through this water. Well, I got to the other side, and you know, at about 20 below and squishing around in your shoes, you think, well, I should better do something about that. So I sat down and I proceeded to make the most ridiculous boots that a person has ever made, because I had dropped a lot of my spare clothes in White Mountain. And I wrapped my feet with dog blankets, with chemical heat warmers. And I went a few miles farther and I wrapped them with some overcoat that someone had left on a tripod. So I finally get close to Nome, and I decided, well, I should probably put my bib on, you know, so they know it's me coming to the finish line. And the gals, the checkers in White Mountain, thought it'd be kind of neat if Allie had come to the finish line with this red boa attached to her bib. Put it on, I was like, oh my goodness, you know. So now I've come across the finish line with boots about the size of an elephant's feet, a broken runner flapping out to the side, and a boa all behind me there. This is exactly the kind of image I want to put across. So, Allie, 2009, I did her out finish. There you go. Thank you very much.
That's perseverance. In 11 days, 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 30 seconds, from Kisilov, Alaska, Paul Gebhardt, born in Minnesota, been racing since 1996, has finished 13 times, 11 times in the top 20.
Yeah, I got to catch an airplane, but I'll finish your story real quick for you. Me and Allie have a lot of history together of last year. She made some comments on TV about how buff I looked and stuff, and my wife was getting a little bit jealous. We came to the finish line, and Allie's chasing me to the finish line. So my wife says, well, I'm going to give her some crap about chasing my husband again. And I turned around, I told Allie, I says, she's in my pants. Back in Utilic Beach, she didn't have any wind pants, so she was wearing my pants all the way to the end. I want to thank Allie, wherever you're at, for putting up with me and letting me do my thing, because that's what I like to do. I'd like to thank my handler, Christy, for helping me, and Abby, I do love you very much. Thanks.
Number 15, 11 days, 1 hour, 42 minutes. Born in Tennessee, grew up in Illinois, came to Alaska in 1995. Started running the Iditarod in 2004. He's finished 6 times, and this is his second time in the top 20. Again, Hugh Knapp, please welcome.
And you all, you guys wonder why I do all this racing every year, because I've got a lot to learn still, so... Luckily for me, I've got a lot of good friends that I get to spend a lot of special moments with out in the woods. And special congrats this year to my good friend Lance Mackey, as well as Sebastian Schnella. It's been a magical year for all of us. I have to, first of all, thank my lead dogs, Annie, Walter, Watson. I had a really young team this year, and it's got me pretty excited about the future. Before I forget, I really need to thank our host family, Percy and Peggy Outwater. The beauty of Nome is when I'm coming down the road, every vehicle stopped and said, welcome to Nome. Every place I've gone out to eat, nobody lets me pay, and makes you realize that you all want us here. And that's why we keep coming back year after year. One other thing, just for any of you mushers out there who are bored like me and ready to get it back on the sled runners, we're going to be having a little fun run out to Port Yukon the first week of May. So if you're interested, let me know and we'll go from there. Peace.
In 11 days, 1 hour, 34 minutes, 14 seconds, from Fairbanks, Alaska, Ken Anderson. He was born in Minnesota. He came to Alaska in 1994. He's been running Iditarod since 1999. Has 9 finishes, 14.
Thank you all for coming. I really wanted a chance to try the key out there, but I never seen the windows. But thanks to Rod Ed for buying those tickets. That was really nice. There you are. Thank you. That was a classy thing. Thank you very much. Hopefully I'll win the truck. It's been a long race. Just getting here, I feel very lucky to even be 14th. I made a lot of mistakes myself that hopefully I'll learn from, and we're here anyways. And I just got to thank my wife, Glenn, who's been a huge supporter, and I know we had twins this year, and it's been an awful lot of work, and she's been a huge supporter. And my parents helped out as well, and we had great handlers, Michael and Jen, and my host family, the Romanescos. they're lots of fun, and my main sponsor, Red Paw, and thank you very much.
Twenty-five times to this stage, please welcome D.D. John Rowe. Number 13, 10 days, 22 hours and 56 minutes.
Thank you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time up here tonight because a lot of us have. But, you know, years ago, I got pretty spooked by the wind in a storm out of Shaktulik and spent 2 days on the shelter cabin with Jerry Austin and LaVon Barbie and Rick Mackey, and I got a healthy respect for storm on the sound there. And like Rick was saying, you know, I wasn't one of the first ones to want to rush out into it. But I had a teacher on how to handle this wind, and John Baker told me this Shaktulik wind was nothing to be fearful of. Come to the 440 and he would teach me how to handle wind. So in 02 I did just that. I went up there, and sure enough there was a hellacious storm, and it stormed the whole time we were up there, and the whole thing was I was supposed to tell myself, the wind is my friend. The wind is my friend. I thought, I feel like my brains are in a blender, but the wind is my friend. And so my mantra this race was, you know, as it got going on and on and on, was the wind is my friend. And I really like wind from the north. And if it could only have blowing snow in it, oh, that would be so nice. And so that was my deal coming around from safety. This is the best. Wind from the north with blowing snow. How fortunate am I? So, thank you very much. Congratulations to my competitors.
From Denali Park, in 10 days, 21 hours, 6 minutes, 6 seconds, born in California, came to Alaska in 1975, started running the Iditarod in 1981. He's finished 20 Iditarods. Welcome four-time Iditarod champion, Jeff King.
Thank you, Noam. Thank you, Iditarod volunteers and staff. Thank you, Rob, for everything. I love my Dodge, man. It's been definitely a tough race, lots of snow, lots of cold, one I'll remember for a long time. Probably well known, I'm one of the ones that ended up spending some time at a shelter cabin out there outside of Shaktulik. And it did result in a little comedy for the three of us that were there first, Aaron, Mitch, and I. I actually had passed the cabin thinking I might get a look at what the weather was like around the rock out there. I didn't like what I saw, and I turned around and came back. By the time I came back, Mitch and Aaron had moved up to this little cabin, and their dogs were hunkered down in the only lee side of this very small building. And it gave me a little satisfaction knowing that I wasn't the only one that thought maybe we ought to sit this out for a little while and see how it changed. Problem was, what little lee there was to this building was already taken by their two dog teams. There was really no place to get my dogs out of the wind in any kind of organized fashion, which isn't something that I'm that good at anyway. So my dogs just bundled up, I let them bundle up into a big wad, right? I'm trying to get them to go underneath the steps, because the only place that was out of the wind that was left. And they got all tangled up. I knew what happened. I started disconnecting them all and removing the tow line, knowing that they weren't going to go anywhere except to find a place out of the wind. Well, then it dawned on me that the last couple of years training on the Denali Highway, I've had the pleasure of having a beautiful little cabin out there in a very windy spot. And it has become common practice to bring the whole damn team in the house when we stop for camp. And so my dogs just kept jumping up on the porch, sitting in front of the door, looking really sad. And I would shoot them off the porch, trying to get them down underneath the steps again, and they would pile back up onto the porch and look at me like, why won't you let us in? Eventually they got the message, at least some of them did, for the several hours I spent there, many of them were just curled up right on top of the porch, right in the wind, still convinced that sooner or later I would open the door and let them in. In case you're wondering, it's against Iditarod rules to have dogs inside shelter that are in the race. And however this was shelter, it was a fine line between shelter and not shelter, but it sure was handy that night. I am, day after tomorrow, I'm headed from Denali to Dawson City to run in the Percy DeWolf sled dog race. It'll be the first time I've participated over there since my days with Yukon Crest. I'm going to pick up my youngest daughter, Ellen, in Fairbanks tomorrow, and we're headed straight over there. And I tell you, I have a beautiful dog team, and I'm sure not ready to put them away for the season. And I look forward very much to next year. Congratulations to all the competitors and Lance. Fantastic job. Thank you.
Under his belt, please welcome Sonny Linder from Two Rivers. Number 11 this year, 10 days, 20 hours, and 19 minutes.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all the race people and Millers that you stay with here in town and all the family and friends that showed up here this year. Thank you.
In 10 days, 20 hours, 7 minutes, 32 seconds, Tom Scott from White Horse, Yukon, grew up in Austria, moved to Canada in 1990, three-time winner of the Yukon Crest. He's been running the Iditarod since 1999, his second top 10 finish.
Well, I had a great race, although I didn't quite reach my goal, and obviously that's hard to do if you're going the wrong way. I don't need to tell another firm story. I just want to congratulate all the young marshals who leapfrogged us in Shaktulik and went down to Koyuk while older guys were trying to hibernate in Shaktulik. Thank you all, and I'll see you probably next year.
Smith is next from Willow, Alaska, number 9 position, 10 days, 17 hours, 52 minutes. Sixth top 10 finish. He's been racing the Iditarod since 1994. Rainey Smith.
Well, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Alaska Diesel Doctor, Steve Rip, Lloyd Charlie Abento, particularly my host family, Dennis and Ken with Sweetler. It's just couldn't come to know him here without people like that, and so I just want to thank all of his families. And KICY radio station, special thanks to my dog team, and especially Babe, who once again was right there when I needed her. It's probably a special race for her. I know everybody here has awesome lead dogs, but this is her last event, and so talk about how the race went. It was a really tough event, and you know, she was feeling ill for the whole way, but anytime she was needed, she was right there and dragged me through whatever it took. When we were stuck in the storm there in Shaktulik, and I was like getting impatient and wanted to go, I knew it wouldn't be an issue, and she was the first lead dog to lead out through the storm there, and I had complete confidence, and she never let me down. Well, there you had the little bitty 40-pound female dragging the team through the storm, and you had the big males trying to run alongside her, and kept rotating them out, and they would get behind her and try to let her break the wind. And it was, I don't know if you call it the head commentary on the big males, but it was one heck of a commentary on a little female with a lot of heart. We'd stop in the wind, and the ice froze up on our eyelashes, and And her and her brother Dude, with only two, they're like 12 years old now. And it was amazing to see their focus on getting to know them. And it was a true testament to the courage in sled dogs. Because there are younger dogs who didn't know what was going on. They'd lay down and decided it was time to take a break. Babe, get up there and give a bark, just go, and finger in the back, bark and bark, and pretty soon the whole team would be crazy to go, and make the hook a pop, and away we'd go through the wind, and I wouldn't have been in this position without that dog, and so this race is a testament to her, and I really appreciate her and the rest of the team group. So I want to thank my competitors. And I think they try people to do the very best, and really appreciate all of you, and thank you for all the sponsors and this race can be done without. In 10 days, 15 hours, 7 minutes, and 25 seconds from Fairbanks, Alaska, Jesse Royer. Born in Montana, grew up in a cattle ranch, came to Alaska when she was 21. She's been running Iditarod since 2001. She's finished 8 Iditarods. Her second 8th place finish. Congratulations.
Well, I just had to bring cooling for everybody to meet because she's such a special dog for me. So I too, like Allie, would like to thank my dogs because they're the ones that get me here. And this little dog, well, she's run 7 Iditarods with me, and I've only run 8. And she's led me start to finish the last several Iditarods, never having been out of the lead, and actually single lead across the finish line the last 3 years. So she's obviously pretty special to me. But I also would like to thank Mike Weber for all he does for me and my stepdad Jim here in Nome. Just shuttles us around and makes sure we have everything and takes care of my kennels and dog houses, and he's pretty special friends. I want to thank Mike and Kirsten Bay and Bob Lewis. They let us stay at their dog house and give us a place to stay. We really enjoy that, so thank you very much. And all the volunteers and veterinarians, I know it takes a lot of work, so thank you very much. We certainly do appreciate it. And I also have to thank Jim. He's such a special dad, and I don't know what I'd do without him. It's pretty neat when I start the race, and all the way up the trail, everybody's, is your dad going to be a gnome? Is Jim going to be a gnome? And yeah, I think, oh, good. Everybody, the whole way up the trail, is asking if Jim's going to be a gnome. And I finally just started telling everybody that, well, he's the only reason why I run this race, is to get to know him, to see him, you know? So it's a heck of a way to get to know him, but I sure appreciate having him here. I don't know what I'd do without him. He's been here every year I've run the race. So. And I have to thank all my, just congratulate all my competitors. They did a great job. It was definitely an interesting year. Hanging out with everybody in Shaktulik, listening to all the stories, is definitely pretty interesting. And every year you get to travel with somebody new, meet somebody new. I've gotten to travel with Dee Dee the last couple of years, and I just love it. I don't know, she's just such a neat lady to travel with, and I can't think of anybody I'd rather be out on the trail with than Dee Dee. She actually loaned me a dog this year that finished with me, so thank you very much. She was a great dog. And a couple other names, Tim Smith and Dallas Dee Dee. I've never been around Dallas much, but I tell you, he's a very impressive young man. In fact, I really enjoyed that, but I actually overheard an interview, someone was interviewing with him. He said that, I was the youngest person to ever start this race, but I'd like to be the youngest person to ever win. I believe he definitely can do it. He's pretty impressive. So just congratulations, everybody, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
to position number 7 finishing this year. This year it's held by Aaron Burmeister. It's the first time he's in the top 10. He has finished 12 Iditarods, first starting racing in 1994. This year Aaron got here in 10 days, 14 hours and 56 minutes. Aaron was born here and raised in Nome, and we're glad to welcome him home. Aaron Burmeister.
Thank you, John, and so the first thing I thank is my dogs. You know, I had a phenomenal dog team this year, and it was a real pleasure to stand behind them and work with them and the teamwork it took to get to know them. You know, the last few years I've been studying a good friend of mine, Lance Mackey, who seems to be unstoppable with the Iditarod Quest and all the success that he's had, and what I kind of came to around Christmas time this year that he had that nobody else had was the confidence that he was going to win and the drive that it takes to get there. And the one thing that I did different in this year's race is, after Christmas, of course, started training like I was going to win the Iditarod. And every day in training with the dogs, from the starting line of the race, I told myself that I had the confidence I was going to win the Iditarod. And from the starting line this year, I raced the Iditarod like I was going to win it. And told myself that if things look like we're not going to win it, we're going to back off and cater to the dogs a little bit and do the best we can. And I went for it. Right? From the starting line on, we were racing to win the Iditarod, and the dogs I was standing behind were phenomenal. They had the same confidence I did. They did superb. It was a pleasure to be with them. And, you know, I didn't have a superstar dog in that team. It was a team effort. There were 16 dogs and myself, and every one of those dogs did their part. I had several leaders that took key roles and set a pace for the team, broke trail, did what it takes, and, you know, got to Uniclete this year. I think I was in third place arriving in Uniclete. And I was sitting at the table inside, and I had a printout in front of me, and the folks that run the Peace on Earth restaurant brought a pizza down for me to share with my competitors. And of course, I've been working there the last couple of summers. They brought my favorite piece of the Leo, and I'm special now. But I'm sitting there eating the pizza. I looked over at John Baker, who was sharing it with me, and I said, "Man, John, you know what's nice this year?" And he said, "What's that, Aaron?" And I said, "We got about a 12-hour lead on the Smith boys and Jesse Roy. We don't have to worry about them passing us on the way to Nome."
Really?
Hadn't seen them for a few days since I'm 24. And had a comfortable cushion, because every year it seems I'm always racing one of the Smiths or Jesse to the finish line. So lo and behold, we leave Chexulik and get hung up in a little bit of a storm, and next thing you know, I'm racing the Smith and Jesse Roy to the finish line. But, you know, it was good. It certainly a wake-up call that we're still on the Iditarod. We still do have the storms. You know, in Anchorage, before the race started, Dad pulled me aside and said, "Son, race is starting a week late this year. It's going to be like an old-fashioned Iditarod. You're going to see a few storms out there." And I said, "Dad, yeah, this is 2009. We don't have storms on Iditarod anymore." Boy, was I wrong. So I got to spend some quality time with Mitch Seavey and a little bit of time with Jeff and Hans Gott and Hugh Neff at a shelter cabin out there, and a major wake-up call. But certainly had a great race. We gave it everything we had. The dogs did superb, finished with 10 healthy, strong dogs, and made a point for the kennel and for the dogs and myself, I think, and certainly looking forward to the future. A few sponsors I'd like to thank that we couldn't be here without is Pike Legal Group. It is a law firm out of Kentucky that supported us for years. Union Yes is an initiative pushing the unions. My employer, Quality Asphalt and Paving. If you want to stay warm on the trail, make sure you get Northern Outfitters, because they outfitted me this year in new clothing, and certainly it'll keep you warm. They got lots of pockets. They're really set up well for mushers. If you need to ship your freight out here to Western Alaska, Nome, Bethel, anywhere in the bush, use Northern Air Cargo. They're a proud sponsor of mine, and glad to have them as part of the team. If you want to go do some shopping in Fairbanks or get out to any of the villages, fly Frontier, because they're a longtime supporter of that as well. Thank you very much. One very important person that I neglected to mention is my beautiful wife, Mandy, who is sitting over here taking pictures with holding our son, Hunter. We have an 8-month-old son that's now probably the biggest part of my life, the pride and joy, the one thing I look forward to waking up and seeing every morning. So, honey, thanks for everything and putting up with me, and to Betty Ann and Wally for putting us up in ICU again this year. Thank you.
And in 10 days, 14 hours, 49 minutes, and 45 seconds, from Seward, Alaska, Dallas Seavey, born in Virginia. Moved to Seward when he was 5. He's the leader of the third generation mushers. First Iditarod was in 2005, and as you just heard, he was the youngest musher ever to run it. And I guess his goal is to be the youngest musher ever to win it.
Well, I'd like to start by, of course, thanking a lot of people. Starting with the race. I want to thank all these sponsors, the diehard sponsors that make this race possible. Provide the purse and all that great stuff that brings us monsters out here. I'd like to thank my own sponsors, J.J. Keller Associates. You know, 2 years ago I was up here after the 2007 race with no real plan of racing the Iditarod in the future, or immediate future I should say. And they came around and through a year or two of negotiating we got lined out, and here I am looking to be racing the next several years. I'm pretty excited about that. I want to thank them. I want to thank my awesome host family, Simon and Jennifer Kaneem. They've been great. I really love my time here in Nome. And, you know, I had a lot of fun in the Iditarod this year. And probably one of the most fun things about the Iditarod for me was getting to run with a whole new pack of mushers. I mean, and not just any mushers, but these are the mushers that I've heard about and watched on the Iditarod video and on TV and on the stats and watched my dad race over the last all of my life. And to be able to race with those Iditarod stars, you know, to pull into some checkpoint and look over and it's Martin Boozer, you know, Rick Swenson. I was in disbelief and tried to take every opportunity to learn from these amazing mushers until Shaq Tulik, and then I tried to not learn too much, and I kind of made a bit of a move and we made it through the storm all right. For better or worse. And it was just a lot of fun though. I especially had a lot of fun running with Sonny Linder and watching how he had put together an amazing dog team, which was kind of my goal for this race, was to try to pull together a bit of a ragtag team and on the race focus on building a team rather than racing a team. And if we got to the end of the race in a position that we could race from, then great. But in the beginning, I wanted to try to build a team that looked nice out there, that I was proud to mush on the Iditarod. You know, there's a lot of interesting times on this race with interesting weather. But I was fortunate to have trained in the Caribou Hills where we got a lot of snow, a lot of wind, and a lot of hard pulling. And so the weather was fun. We made it through it. And each time it was a challenge, but it was more exciting and rewarding to watch that dog team pull through the challenge than it would have ever been had it been an easier, fast trail. And, you know, I had a bit of an interesting run. Probably one of my most heart-stopping moments on this Iditarod is when I had a couple of moose run through the middle of my team. It's the first time in my life that I've ever actually had moose make contact with dogs. And just outside of the bison camps, we were cruising along a 6-foot-wide trail, and two moose come bolting out of the left-hand side and wipe out a couple of my dogs. And I just want to thank God for how fortunate I was that those moose went straight ahead across the trail, and rather than turning up or down the trail and wrecking my whole dog team right there. That was a bit of a scary moment. And the next scariest moment I can look back at on a little bit of comedy. We were cruising down the trail, I guess it was outside of Grayling, and it's a dark night, my dogs are flying, they're loving this cool weather. We're in the trees, out of the wind, and there's a little bit of a split in the trail, which happens fairly often. The trail splits, comes back together, and neither direction's marked, so we just go ahead and let the dogs pick. And about 15 feet down that trail that my dogs picked, I realized that was not the best option. There's a tree about this big around laying down across the trail, about exactly 36 inches off the ground. I have one of those sit-down sleds, and I didn't really have time to tip the sled over or think, so I just ducked. And I made it in between my feet, my handlebar, and that handlebar wedged underneath that tree by just a quarter of an inch, and we slowed down almost to a stop, and then we sprung out of there like a little shot, and we're shooting out the other side, and I sat there, and I was very thankful looking back when Marianne with Prairie Built Sleds instead tells me, "Are you sure you want a 36-inch handlebar? You're taller than me, and I think maybe 38 would be better." So I want to thank Marianne for sticking with the 36-inch handlebar so we can make it on down the trail with something to hang on to. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next year.
Finishes under his belt, his first in the top 10. Please welcome Sim Smith from Big Lake, number 5, 10 days, 14 hours, and 27 minutes.
I'd just like to thank my girlfriend Corinne for helping me out this year. She really made my project her project and helped me make this happen. I'd also like to thank Dennis and Janice for putting us up here in Nome, and all of my friends in Nome for making us feel welcome. Everybody for putting on the race. Thanks a lot.
For those of you who might have missed the start in Anchorage and you're wondering where all this Seavey stuff came from, I want to introduce over here Dan Seavey. He's the first generation and ran the 1973 Iditarod and was our centennial musher as we celebrate 100 years of the Iditarod National Historic Trail. Oh, Dan's not quite that old. He wasn't on the trail year one. In fourth position, second generation, 10 days, 14 hours, 18 minutes, no seconds, Mitch Seavey from Seward, Alaska, born in Minnesota. Came to Alaska in 1963, 2004 champion, 2008 All-Alaska Sweepstakes champion, 8 top 10 finishes, number 4.
Thank you. I just want to, first of all, thank my family. I guess you kind of figured out this is a family deal with us Seavies. So, of course, without a lot of help, we wouldn't be here. And I've really been pleased and honored to be able to share this with my kids and family all the way through, and so special thanks to my dad who kind of started us all down this path, and my wife Janine, who's been supportive all these years, including the very first year I ran in 1982 when our first son Danny was yet a couple of months from being born. So it's quite a span. He's now 26. Special thanks here in Nome to Chuck and Peggy Fagerstrom, our host family. They've been super. It's like a home away from home here. And last year with the sweepstakes and all, I think I spent a whole month here at Chuck and Peggy's house, and they never did get tired of us, so at least they hit it well. So as far as the race, it went real well. I always like to win, so I'm happy but not satisfied with fourth place. Although it is one of my better finishes ever. The golf team performed as well as could be expected, and under all sorts of circumstances, ranging from a little bit of rain and snow and warm and deep snow and glare ice and wind and cold and all sorts of things. They're pretty versatile little critters. So we had a great time, and look forward to next time. Thanks a lot.
Three this year is John Baker from Kotzebue. This is his 10th top 10 finish, second third place finish. Born and raised in Kotzebue, welcome John Baker.
I really want to start out thanking some corporate sponsors that have really helped me for the last 10 years doing this, starting with Northern Air Cargo. Not only have they been a huge help to me personally, but to all of us in Bush, Alaska. Whenever we have anything going on, they've just been there for us, and I want to personally say thank you. Tech Cominco and NSRC have been a sponsor of ours for the last 12 years. Thank you very much. This year, we've had one man helping us in Kotzebue. Our kennel has not changed in the past. It's taken us three people. This year, Heath Quirrell has done it by himself. And he's really been impressive, and I want to say thank you to him. Of course, the dedication that our wives and children give to us to allow us to do this event, thank you so much. And I guess I wasn't going to talk too much about the race, because for me, I thought the race was a little bit uneventful, but obviously Aaron brought out that there are some different events happening with me. Him giving me a ride to catch up to my dog team, that wasn't such a big deal, so I had to thank the Smith brothers for catching my dog team the first time I caught it, first time I lost it. So for Randy and Sim, I wanted to say thank you. And going up the glaciers and through the ice where everybody's having so much trouble, Cindy was right in front of me, and she really... Oh, it wasn't Cindy, it was Judy, right? Okay, where are you? Anyway, I wanted to say thank you, Monk, for giving me that pull across the ice and then helping me up the glacier. Congratulations to all the competitors. I know at one point I was asked when I finished about last year I was 23rd, this year I was 3rd place, and I wanted to say that I thought I worked a lot harder to be 23rd than I did to be 3rd. Everything went right this year, so it wasn't much work to be when everything's going right, but when you're having different problems, then you have to work a lot harder. So I know the people that are not in the very front of the pack deserve a lot of congratulations also, so thank you.
Quest winner finished Iditarod 5 times, one previous top 10 finish. Born in Germany, moved to Canada in 1996 from Whitehorse, Yukon territory. Coming in position number 2, 10 days, 5 hours and 5 minutes. Please welcome Sebastian Sanula.
Well, I'm not going to do much for a long speech, Lance. Next year, I'm ready to lose my hair.
Before I ask your 2009 Iditarod champion to join me up here on the stage, I'd like to ask Obie Simonis and Janice Doherty with Wells Fargo and Rod Udd with Anchorage Chrysler Dodge to make their way this direction for your respective presentations. Perhaps the Anchorage Daily News said it best. After enduring some of the most difficult weather that Mother Nature threw at us this year, the sun shone brightly on Lance Mackey's 15 dogs pulled down Front Street on Wednesday in a historic victory. Only twice before have mushers put together 3 wins in a row in the 1,000-mile race from Anchorage to Nome, and some mushers, the late Susan Butcher from Fairbanks and Doug Swingley from Lincoln, Montana, are now legends in the sport. Never before has the Iditarod known a 3-time winner who also has 4 victories in the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race. And never in the pre-Mackey era was it thought even possible to win both the Quest and the Iditarod in the space of a month with essentially the same dog team. Mackey has done it twice. This year, the 38-year-old Fairbanks dog driver sat out the Quest to save his team's energy for the merely improbable 3-in-a-row, 3-peat of Iditarod victories. There are mushers with more Iditarod victories than Mackey. Rick Swenson from Two Rivers has 5. Martin Boozer from Big Lake, Jeff King from Denali Park, Butcher and Swingley each have 4. And every one of them would testify as to how hard it is to put together
even two in a row. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to your 2009 Iditarod champion, Lance Mackey. Of myself, Obi Simonis, Giannis Dory, and Bonnie Meadows, and Wells Fargo Bank, we'd like to congratulate you, Lance, on winning the 2009 Iditarod, and for winning your third consecutive race in a row. In a year with such challenging conditions, all the while making it look so easy. You are a true legend of mushing and the Iditarod. It is our pleasure to congratulate you here with this check for $69,000.
Well, I can attest, there was nothing easy about this. It was probably, in fact, it was by far the hardest of the three. But I'll tell you too, this feeling will never change. I love cashing these checks. but even more than that, I love driving those Dodge big vehicles. Rod, you are our hero. I really do. I love this guy. You know, anybody that can give away this many trucks every year and continue to support a sport like what we have here, oh man, incredible. As well as the rest of these sponsors who you know, make us, we have a career and a life and you know, well, these people, we wouldn't have it. I'd have to go get a job for some ass that I don't really like. I'm pretty happy to be up here, you know, every year. I know a lot of you probably are getting sick of seeing me up here, but get used to it. I'm here there for a while. There's a lot of people who helped give me this stage, and I don't forget any one of them. From the people who, you know, sent us $20, like Allie said, to the corporate sponsors, every one of them mean a lot to me. And I'm proud to be supporting their logo. The number one is Red Paw Dog Food. There's a lot of great dog foods out there, but in my opinion, Red Paw is the one to beat. We've proven that time and again. Canada Goose Clothing, they keep us warm. New sponsor this year, I guess they got sick of me, Led Dirty Coat Club. They want me to look a little more professional. Not that I am, but I pretend. Advanced Medical Centers in the state, they keep me healthy enough to keep coming back. They got some great doctors there, and I really